nobody but Jesus.
Good morning. Welcome into Asbury United Methodist Church. Wherever you are, please worship with us this morning.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Oh, I am
who I say I am.
Who the Son sets free, oh, is free.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Oh,
in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. However you may be watching, wherever you may be, it's a joy and a blessing to be in worship with you today. If you're a guest watching this morning for the first time, welcome to our family. We're thankful that you are with us. We hope this worship experience this morning is a blessing to all of you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague, Dee Dee Roberts, will be along shortly to deliver today's message. We thank you for being with us today, and as we continue our time of worship, let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this day, this moment, that we may gather as your children to glorify you, to praise you, to give thanks to you for the continuous blessings that you pour into our life. Now we ask this morning that through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, you are with us, that through the music and through the message, through the scripture, you change us, God, that you change us and transform us into the image of Christ that you call us to be, so that we may then share that image with the world. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Love, you bring life.
breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
You give hope.
You restore.
You restore
every heart that is broken.
And we sing to you.
Great are you, Lord. Oh, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour
Is your breath
in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath
in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Our prayer this morning that all the earth will shout your praise. Sing this out.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Let all the earth.
Oh, let all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Oh,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you.
Indeed, great is our Lord. Let us join together now in a word of prayer. Loving God, your grace is beyond our comprehension, your love deeper than we can imagine, and your goodness far beyond what we are capable. And yet here we are in your presence this day, honored to worship you, pleased to be with one another, and somehow through the power of your Holy Spirit, able to lift our hands in praise and joy through song and prayer and the reading and proclaiming of your word together. What a mystery you are. And we are glad. We are glad that we cannot fathom, control, understand, or fully grasp the depth and power of your greatness. But instead, we can lean into it, even fall into it, and discover that you hold us as gently as a mother holds a newborn child. So today, O God, we bow at your feet. We lean into your love. We rest in your arms. As we hold up to you those concerns that are most on our hearts, we pray for all those who suffer this day from the pandemic, those who have positive diagnoses and are struggling, even as we pray, with the symptoms of the illness, those who grieve as they have lost loved ones, those who are afraid and unsettled by the impact the disease has had on their lives in terms of jobs and security and the plans that they had for their future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And even as you are able, push back this disease from our midst. Bless all doctors and frontline workers, those who work in labs in research, those who are giving vaccines, and all who will receive them. Make us mindful of each other, willing to sacrifice our own comfort for the sake of another, and faithful to you and to the love you call us to share. God, we pray for our nation. Confused as we are by the division and the depth of violence that seems to have erupted among us, Lord, pour out your mercy on us. Help us to listen to each other. Cast away from us delusions and fear. And bring the truth to the surface that we are one, though we are many. That as surely as we change as a nation, you are with us as you work in the world and as you bring all nations to faith. And Lord, we pray this day for those things that are on our hearts, the people, the places, the concerns that we share with one another, and especially those that we hold dear, unable to utter them because they are so important and close to our hearts. Especially, we pray today for Jean Beth Hill, for Hugh Roberts, for Betty Hill, for Nate Hill, for June Glazier, for family members and friends of our congregation, and for each other. The days are long, and yet the hours seem so short. And God, we ask you to fill it all with your mercy, with your love, and with your salvation that heals us, body, mind, and spirit. For all of this, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's so good to be with all of you today, to know that you are in worship, that even now, as I open my Bible, you are opening yours, and we can share in this time of feasting on God's Word. This morning, our scripture lesson comes from the first chapter of Mark, and begins with the 21st verse. I invite you to follow along. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting, Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Jesus cut him short. Be quiet. Come out of that man, he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience. They began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked each other. It has such authority that even evil spirits obey his orders. The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as many of you know, I grew up in basketball country in Indiana. Now, for us, football was a game, but basketball is life. Our high school arena had 3,600 seats, and in good years, when the Bearcats were winning, I think the crowd honestly could swell to about 4,000. Squeezed in shoulder to shoulder in an arena that the coach had the heat turned up fairly high. And my years in high school were some of the best for the Bearcats. We won back-to-back state championships in Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. I was in the cheer block and a member of the official Bearcat fan club. All we wore was purple and white. like everybody else in Muncie, Indiana. I ate, slept, and believed basketball and in the Bearcats. It's what we did. It was, in some ways, who we were. Then I went to college. Now, Indiana Central had a basketball team, the Greyhounds, and they were fairly good, but I could not stand going to the games. You see, the basketball arena on campus had seats for, oh, maybe 300, and it just seemed like a joke. I had gone from a Fiari to a Ford in less than 60 seconds, and I gave up that quickly as well. That's when I had to admit that I didn't really love basketball. What I loved was winning. What I loved was being part of a crowd. What I loved was the fanfare and the noise. What I loved was being a fan. But I wasn't a follower. And to this day, I'm just fine if I miss the most important game of the season. Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum without much notice. As far as anyone could tell, Jesus was just another rabbi with a rather ragtag group of followers. But then on the Sabbath, they went to the synagogue and Jesus preached. He taught with the kind of authority that not many had. He didn't quote from all the experts. He seemed to understand the scriptures and could communicate their meaning in plain language. In fact, Jesus made the scriptures come alive. And as he taught, God seemed real and involved in the lives of the crowd that had gathered there. And those in the synagogue took notice and began to whisper to one another that this rabbi, this Jesus, was someone worth listening to. Maybe even following. Then a weird thing happened. A man that everyone in Capernaum tried to ignore because he was, well, a little off, began to shout, and he challenged Jesus. He screamed out and asked him why he was there and what he wanted to do with them. Them? Now imagine with me for a moment the members of the synagogue being confused and perhaps even a little offended. For you see, this man was incoherent most days. Mothers wanted their children to stay away from him. Men crossed to the other side of the road when they saw him coming. Mostly, he was ignored and considered harmless and even pitied. This man was an object of their charity. They allowed him to come into the synagogue, but he would never be one of them. And yet, Jesus paid attention to this man. He even spoke to them. He said, "Be quiet, come out of him." And the man fell down, writhing around. He cried out again. And then it was quiet. That pregnant moment of calm. He seemed cured, whole somehow. Jesus had saved him from his demons. And the difference in the synagogue was palpable. The energy crackled like lightning around them, and all of them were amazed. Jesus did not just have authority to teach the scriptures. He was authority. He spoke with power about the scripture, and he could control the demons that crippled them and kept them from true life. Jesus was going to be their rabbi. And they began to tell others. And just like that, Jesus was famous. The synagogue was his arena. Their city could be the home of his fan club. And they would be his cheer block. People could not stop talking about Jesus. He was, as David Bowie once said, an instant star. Just add water and stir. Trouble is, Jesus didn't come to create a fan club. Jesus did not and does not need a cheer block. What Jesus wants are disciples. People who are willing to learn from him. People who will imitate his example. People who, empowered by his same spirit, will speak with authority, will heal those around them, and love a community into being in his name. After all, remember what Jesus said? Follow me. Follow me. And Peter and James and Andrew and John left everything behind and followed. In the synagogue, Jesus said, "Be quiet and come out of that man." And the evil one screamed and ran. What Jesus said, what Jesus did, was not a publicity stunt. It was a takeover. Jesus came with a whole new way of being. He came with truth. Jesus spoke with authority. He was not seeking fame, but rather faithfulness. Followers, not fans. Now, even today, brothers and sisters, it is tempting to be a fan of Jesus and not a follower. Churches are full of fans. Fans who believe that if they are good, they will prosper. Fans of Jesus who talk about him as if he is their personal fairy godfather. Jesus, the grantor of wishes, if we can figure out the first part of the magic spell that will get him to respond just the way we want. To fans, Jesus represents them. He looks like them. He likes what they like. He supports what they support. He wants everyone else to be just like them. And when they read their Bible, fans find proof for their lives, their values, their preferences, yes, and even their prejudices. Now, Jesus loves fans, but he came for followers. Followers who know Jesus and who have followed him all the way to the cross, so that they realize that being good, being like Jesus, requires sacrifice and sometimes leads to sorrow. Followers who seek to be reformed and conformed to Jesus the Christ. Followers who turn their lives over to Jesus completely, knowing full well that they will have to change, leave behind their old lives for the sake of what Jesus is doing to make them new. New. Followers are willing to see that all of creation is blessed and valued. So in the name of Christ, they seek to lay aside their own preconceived ideas about others to see the presence of God in our differences. Followers can rejoice in diversity. Followers do not speak of the other as much as they speak of us. When followers read or study the Bible, they seek the Word to get inside of them. Not as data to approve them as they are, but as the presence of God to proof and purify them, so that the truth of the living Word can live in them. For you see, Jesus calls followers to build the kingdom of God. Fans can follow along, and sometimes they do. Sometimes fans are transformed into followers as they go just a little further and a little further with Jesus. But fans can also resist, because fans tend to want monuments more than they want Jesus, who is the way to a movement of God's will on earth as it is in heaven. In the synagogue that day, I know for a fact that Jesus made one follower and a whole lot of fans. One man came in from the margins with his illness and confusion and weakness and need fully on display, and he cried out, and Jesus made him well. Everyone else commented about Jesus' power. They were amazed by what he had done for the man. They were thrilled by the spectacle, and they even told others. But in the end, did they allow Jesus to change them? Follow me. That what Jesus said. Follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as the band is returning, isn't it great to have the band back again, Caleb? We're so glad that you had a negative test and that we are still able to say that people are not getting COVID at Asbury United Methodist Church. But I would say that as at the end of service today, we will have Bible study. It will be our Sunday school. It will begin at 11:15 a.m. and on Facebook Live, and I'll look forward to seeing you all there as we talk about the discipline of solitude and retreat. And now, thank you, band.
Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one, I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. Oh, I believe. Judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal.
I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen. What a joy and a blessing it's been to be in worship with all of you today. We thank you so much for joining us virtually. We hope that this worship service was a blessing to you and spoke powerfully to you. A few announcements. As Pastor Dede said, we'll be starting our virtual Bible study at 11:15. That'll be on Facebook Live. We also have our confirmation class starting at noon. Our students will be on Zoom together for that. Tonight at 7 o'clock, please join us as we premiere the next installment of the story. We are looking at chapter 5, which looks at the Ten Commandments, a new covenant that God has made as he takes this ragtag group up out of Egypt and works to form them into a nation. So lots going on. Next week is the first Sunday in February. I know that's hard to believe. So as we gather for worship next Sunday, I invite you to bring your communion elements with you. We will gather around the table together and participate in the Lord's Supper. As we leave our time of worship this morning, receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. As an old pastor of mine once said, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Go in peace. Amen.
I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Duke Jesus. Oh, I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe.